Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday was, what do you do to feel inadequate? And this seems to be a popular theme, so here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen calling from the monastery.
Well, hey, Jen.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. So I wanted to chime in on this series because I've really been experiencing what a caller was talking about yesterday, I think, around I really appreciate the way that they're phrased in terms of what am I doing to feel sad, inadequate, afraid, all those things. Because that's been a really helpful way to look at it, to kind of see through that lens. And one of the, just kind of the meta process of that feels like what's so really fun about it and fun about the whole retreat in this way is that I sit down with the question, I sit down with the book, and there's all kinds of things I could say about it. Sort of just what I already, what I know about that and what I've seen about that over lots of years of practice and that sort of thing. But when I really sit down and look at that particular question, so yesterday, what do I do to feel inadequate? There's a whole bunch of information there that I've never seen. A way of, and it feels like we're being trained that there's this way of seeing where you just turn your attention straight to something and that wisdom is just, it's just there, and I didn't know it, it's not that I didn't know it 30 seconds before, but it's that it's just suddenly it's there when I turn my attention to it.
Always.
Yeah.
Which is why we are so conditioned to believe something that is completely not true. And what we're conditioned to believe is, well, stuff happens to me. Well, what happens to me is because of me. There's something. Well, actually, it was my mother. No, my father. No, I didn't. Right. And we're just meant to go off into this universe of hogwash that explains why I feel, in this case, inadequate. And there's no validity to any of it.
No. No.
So,
and that fits so perfectly.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
I just want to connect up the other
no,
thing.
No, please,
you said.
Please. Absolutely.
So wisdom, clarity is what's there when we stop doing everything else.
Yeah.
That's what that means, right?
Yes.
And that's the experience you're having. When I don't do all that stuff, wisdom and clarity are there.
And, you know, just a quick fun thing about that, I was just talking to someone in a practice setting yesterday about this, that, you know, what you just said is exactly the experience I'm having. And it's different to hear that and, quote, know that, but then to keep practicing in that diligent way so we have that experience for ourselves firsthand in this moment is a completely different thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's why we walk around and go, oh, that's what that means. Now, as you're indicating, if somebody had come up to you and said, now, what does that mean, Jen? Well, what it means is blah, 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 because we know the answer, right?
Yes.
But then you have the experience, and that's why Zen is direct experience. It's not an intellectual understanding. You've got to be standing right there and let it hit you between the eyes.
And then the funny part is, what I see when you say that is then the addiction that I feel like at least I'm breaking is to each time that happens to think I now have something and I've arrived somewhere, but to realize that's a process that's going to go on, if I'm lucky, every moment for the entire rest of my life, and I'm never going to have anything. That's all I'm going to quote have is that process.
Well, yes, and what you have is the giggle that comes from the realization of how it really works.
Yeah.
So when that system comes in, that wants to, and blah 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 blah, blah, and you just giggle because you can you can, you know, it's like watching a 4 year old do something that of course they had nothing to do with, and then say, "I did that."
Right.
Well, you're awfully cute, but no, you didn't.
Yeah, that's a great image for it. So just quickly on this one, just like all the others, so what do I do to feel inadequate? Well, it's all the things I'm told I need to do to feel adequate, which I'm going to plan and I'm going to, you know, think about it and I'm going to rehearse and I'm going to, and also a big one was believe that I actually can't do it. So I either try to get out of it or get someone else to, quote, help me with it. Every single one of those things, of course, completely reinforcing adequacy, I mean, inadequacy. And all I need to do is just turn directly to the thing, and there's a profound sense of adequacy that comes with that.
Yes, and what you really described is the movement from doing to not doing, which is why all of practice is letting go. We don't have to do anything. We have to stop doing all this stuff that is giving us the experience that we really don't want.
Amen. So,
how fun,
so much gratitude
for
it's so fun, and just the wisdom of every person who calls in. It's just it's all going in, and it's all transforming. It's just such a gift. So, many, many thanks to everyone.
Thank you.
We
Jen.
Are. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you, Jen. I love that. It's a process of arriving.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It's a transformation of seeing, so that what we're in is the process of arriving at that wisdom, love, and clarity, and living in the wonder of the aha of it.
Yeah, moment by moment by moment by moment. So, you know, that's such a fun way of phrasing it. So, you know, I'm going somewhere that I really want to go. I'm really excited to be going. And then I arrive. And there's just tremendous and we can live in that because, as Jen was indicating, it's not like you get somewhere and then now I'm here and now what do I do? We're always arriving.
Yes. Well, and to recognize with the clarity that I think you were talking about with Jen, that the phrase is so important. What am I doing to feel inadequate? Really points us to the process that I'm in that results in me feeling this way, which leads to the clarity that if it's what I'm doing that is causing me to experience X, Y, and Z, but I can be, and there is that conditionality of doing for a result is the process that leads to the suffering. Just to be here implies the not doing, the not identification, the non-identification that allows me to have a different life experience.
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's so simple. And people will say, well, it's simple, but it's not easy. No, actually, it's easy too. getting to the realization is not easy. But once we see it, once we get how it works, it is both simple and easy.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Rebecca from the monastery.
Whoa. We've got lines open to the monastery this morning. Very nice.
Inadequacy is a big deal around here, apparently.
I guess so, in a place of such adequacy. Yes.
Yes, yes. So what I saw around answering this question was this. What do I do to feel inadequate is I assume somebody knows something that I don't know. And that it's even possible to know something outside of the moment. And so the way that leads to inadequacy is, first of all, I have to leave myself to go, you know, and it's so sneaky, these assumptions. They're so subtle that, you know, it takes a while, apparently, to even get that there's an assumption here, you know. And,
yes.
and
something is being done, right?
Yes.
That doesn't feel like I'm doing anything.
Yep.
I'm just looking to see who has the answer. That's that's not a doing.
Right. And that's why the question phrase this way is so helpful, because when it dropped in, I'm assuming that somebody, then it's like, oh, that is the something that's being done. Oh, I'm assuming that this is the case. You know, and boy, when I saw that, it was so like that giggle, you know, that y'all were just talking about, that delight, and that, you know, is just the whole deal right there. But there's even more that gets that kind of as been the delightful fallout of having seen this, is that it's like all these little dangling pieces of things that I've been looking at just suddenly clicked into place, and it's like, okay. You know, and that's just another pleasure on top of the giggle, you know.
And so, back to what we were just talking about, and so what do you know as a result of that? Well, actually nothing. And yet, so periodically we talk about everything happens in one of two places, right? Everything happens in ego identification or in clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Everything can be experienced through one of those perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way in which there is a knowing that happens, but it doesn't happen for ego. There's a knowing that is a synonym for present moment clarity. So it is possible for us to know, and we always put quotes around it because to point that we're not talking about something that conditioned mind files somewhere. That's not the knowing we're talking about. But there is a knowing that dropping everything and being here is clarity. We do know that. It's not, you know, if we say, what do you know as a result of that? Well, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. So it's not a content knowing. It's a process knowing.
Yeah. You know, an example keeps coming to my mind from when my son was a little boy, that he was 3 years old, and I was at a pediatrician appointment, and the doctor suggested that we get him tested. We have an MRI for him because he might have spina bifida. He's got a real hairy back, and that's not normal for little kids, and that's one of the signs of spina bifida. So I took him in, and, you know, they poked, and they had to sedate him because he's so little and he wouldn't be still in the MRI machine, and this nurse couldn't find a vein. I mean, it was just horrendous.
Awful.
And he looked at me and just, Mommy, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, it was just awful. And there was a sense of, really? Spina bifida? He's fine, you know? And that got overridden. And I went with, well, the doctor says he needs this test. Oh, my God, what if he does? And, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way we're talking about, that assumption just kicked in, overrode, you know, this other thing, this other kind of knowing that dropped in. That, I mean, I could have asked a lot of questions. I could have done my own research. I could have done any number of things, but didn't. And you know, that episode in my life has been with me, sometimes in self-hate, but sometimes in just the koan, like, moment, you know, that I don't regret that it happened, because it was necessary for this, but at the same time it was incredibly painful, you know? So it's in that, I mean, the gift what I think this you're pointing to with the light room and the, you know, the gift in seeing these things, or the gift in practice in general, is that we get to make different choices from that place, that light room place, that just aren't available.
That sense of knowing that when when we're drawn up in that way with a, it's a good time to stop and and just stay here to the best of our ability and let the clarity come to us rather than going into the doing that's being pointed at. What do I do in order to feel inadequate? Well, I listen to experts. I believe them. I get into the fear voices in my head. That's what I do in order to feel inadequate. All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. I'm just going to keep going down our queue, Sherry.
Okay.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Beth in Mountain View.
Hello, Beth.
I'm a little behind on the exercises, but I did a bunch of the what do you do to feel over the weekend. And what I noticed was that there was, I could do the same thing to feel two different ways. It just depended on what the story was.
So the process was the same, right? You get into a story.
Yeah.
The doing is the same. It's turning to conditioned mind and getting involved with the story in conditioned mind. And then it could go in any number of different directions, right?
Exactly. But I don't think I saw that. Yeah, exactly. I don't think I saw that until I wrote down take a bath under feeling loved and feeling depressed. So, you know, there's a way of taking a bath that really feels caring and kind and expressing love, you know, towards the human. And then there's a way of getting in the bathtub that's like, oh, my God, my life is over.
I'll just slowly sink down under the water and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the process is the same in either case, right? I look to conditioned mind to tell me what to do. And then after that, depending on what conditioned mind said or how I interpret it, then because I would guess that a decision to take a bath is going to come from conditioned mind.
When I hear you say that, it sounds like that's where it mostly come from.
Yes, there can be an in the moment dropping in a bath. And you just go take a bath. And it's a taking a bath experience. We don't need to describe it. But when there's a decision about it, when there's a conversation in the head about taking a bath, then it's either because I need something to make me feel better or I'm so depressed I can't think of anything else to do.
Yeah.
So again, it comes back to that conversation. So much of I suppose there can be doing that doesn't involve conversation, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, and it really points to, you know, what other people have said, which is how the question is phrased. You know, what do you do versus how do you do that?
Or how does that happen?
Better. Mm-hmm. Better.
Yes, and they all come to the same place, right? The answer is going to be the same. It's just what do you do makes it so clear that this is, it's not accidental. It's not that story that we're taught to live in, that these are just circumstances beyond, stuff just happens. Stuff happens to me, and then I'm a victim to life and stuff. No, actually, my life experience is what I'm doing.
Yes, yes, and what just dropped in when you said that is, I think that was what was so poignant about seeing the same activity in two, what I would say, diametrically opposed kind of places, is that I'm thinking I'm doing it.
From a centered place?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I'm doing
rather
it from
than
a centered
you're being
place.
Orchestrated.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we're in a conversation that we're taught we like, then it feels centered.
Yes.
It can. Yeah. It can feel centered.
Yeah, sure can. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If I'm feeling the way I'm taught, I've been told, or I've learned, or been conditioned, however we want to say that, is the right way to feel, the right way to be, then it feels centered.
Exactly. I think that's what I'm seeing now in this interchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very, very
good.
It's very interesting, isn't it?
It'll be fun to see what happens the rest of the day.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Always. All right. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Beth. You know, Jerry, what that dropped in for me is the extent of the bamboozle, right? Because mm-hmm. what we don't see is that if we're paying attention, we see that it's the conversation that results in a particular life experience, not the action. And so the ability to see that the action has actually nothing to do with what I'm experiencing assists us to see that it's something beyond the action that is causing the experience, which tends to be a conversation if we can recognize that.
Yes. Yes. That's very helpful sequence. So, the doing is not the bath.
That's right.
The doing is engaging in a conversation with conditioned mind that is framing me and my life mm-hmm. experience. Yeah.
Right.
The doing action is way down the line.
Yes, and
where
like
I
Beth
pick
said,
up a spoon and eat the gallon of ice cream, that's not the yes. action. That's not the doing we're talking about.
That's right, exactly. And that you know, another word for karma is thought, an action thought. And so that mm-hmm. place of being able to see that the bath comes, the action is common, it for the first time causes us to look for something before the action. That's the similarity, which is the conversation. Because what conditioning
yes.
always has us do is look at the end outcome, right, the content, so that
yes.
we don't recognize that it's the orchestrator. And
yes.
so to be able to see the action being the same, now, you can't feel depressed and loved by taking a bath. So what was the commonality before that?
Mm-hmm.
That's when we get to see, that was a conditioned, it was a conversation.
Yes. So people, this is what, practice encourages people to look at with common self-hating situations
yes.
in life. So overeating, over-drinking alcohol, over-doing drugs, over whatever it is. What we're meant to do is get out there to the behavior. And
yes.
then whether we do that or not makes us a good person or a bad person, the right person or the wrong person. And that's where people live their lives, right? Rather,
yes.
Put stress in there. Rather than going back before that to what was going on that got me to that? What was I doing, right, that
yes.
got me to that behavior? That's where the
yes.
whole thing lives, not in
yes.
the not in the behavior.
Yes, exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And the phrasing of these questions assists us to see that prior
yeah.
doing, which is always a conditioned mind process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's big.
So big. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of everything. It really is. We're closing in on the whole deal.
Okay, I think we have time for one more caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I am so happy to be here and be amongst such fabulous company.
That song is the best, huh? We're happy you're here, too. What are you seeing?
Oh my heavens. I'm so blown away by this conversation. I am just so blown away. And as I'm listening, I'm seeing all this stuff. You know, I thought, I'm speechless. I didn't even see this until I was listening to the call, because one of the things I do to feel adequate is kind of what Jen was pointing at with the first call, is plan, prepare, and then have something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm going to do something to get something in order to feel inadequate, which of course requires that I leave adequacy.
Yes. 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 Oh boy. There's another process, huh? So I'm afraid I don't like the way I feel. I feel inadequate. So I got to get myself together here so that I will feel adequate. And that very process takes me away from the adequacy that I would be feeling if I weren't in that whole conversation about being inadequate.
Yes. And, I mean, you know, it's not like I haven't heard this stuff before, but something just hit me like a ton of bricks on this call of the belief that being centered looks a certain way. So if
mm-hmm.
if there's a part of me, or if there's feelings of inadequacy, or if there's a conversation about inadequacy, however you want to describe that, that means I'm not centered, that I need to get away from it, when what really needs to happen is I need to embrace it and fully be with it. You know, that it's not,
yes.
that being centered is not the content of what's going on. It's the process, of course, duh. But it's just, I just saw that in a new way, kind of like people have been talking about on the call, seeing things be revealed that we didn't know where we were operating us.
Yeah. Well, and you actually added a whole a whole new element to it, which is the belief that being centered looks and feels a certain way, and so if I'm not looking, if I'm not seeing things, feeling the way I should feel when I'm centered, then I need to do something about what I'm seeing, thinking, feeling, doing in order to be centered, when actually if I weren't somewhere near center, I wouldn't have seen any of this.
Yeah, and I realize that's kind of getting into today's lesson, which I'm very, very much looking forward to playing with. And there's just something about the attempt to feel adequate that, of course, ensures I won't.
Yes. Well, I have to identify. I have to identify with somebody who is going to feel a certain way. That's a pretty solid definition of not centered.
Yes. Yes. And I know we're at our time, but the other thing I loved is when Ashwini said, another word for karma is thought, because the other thing in all these exercises, as people have been pointing at, is I'm realizing what I do to feel all these different ways is I have a conversation. There's a conversation going on in the head. That's what creates all this.
Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking about it. So quickly, because I'm right with you, but, you know, first there's movement, then there's sensation. We have a thought about it, an emotional reaction to it, and a conditioned behavior that goes with it. And one of the things that we always have to remind ourselves of is that so often the conditioned behavior is thought. It's a story. It's a conversation. It's not the previous thought, not the label, but it's a whole imaginary way of doing and being that I go through. So I'm stressed, and I go through this whole thing about I'm going to leave this job, I'm going to leave this place, I'm going to go find an island somewhere, and by the time I get through with that, I feel better. Yeah, and I don't realize that is a behavior as much as if I just had 6 cups of coffee.
And it's such a boring script. I'm sure everybody could fill in, this is what I say to myself, and here it comes.
Exactly. yeah, is what I hear in my head.
Yes, I know. I just want to say deep gusto to everybody who's participating, because it's such a gift, as everybody has said, to hear everybody's wisdom. And thank you so much for offering this practice. It's phenomenal.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for being here. And go happy. Go happy. Exactly.
Thanks, Anne. That's just I love the connection of that, right, Jerry, in that whole sequence that we were talking about, movement, sensation. It's not in the physical world. Every one of those is a conditioned mind thought.
Yes.
The registering of the sensation, the registering of the movement, the perception, the emotional reaction, and the behavior actually all happen in conditioned mind. There's a feeling thought, and there's a thinking thought, and there's a doing thought.
Right.
And if there's enough energy around each one of those, it actually manifests in tears or in a cup of coffee. But everything begins with the thought.
Yeah. Yes. And for most of us, until we've practiced a long time, under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our question for today is, what do you do to feel centered? Pardon, listen.
Ooh, how very exciting. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, everybody. Treasure yourselves.